Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the difficulties and trials that we go through in this life seem to be those that continue to come and go, just like as the waves of the ocean continue to beat against the shores. It's something that continues to happen in our lives, and it becomes difficult for us. It becomes something that wears us down. You know, when you would walk by the sea, by the beach and the sand, and you would find glass there. It's interesting how the glass could be broken, dropped on the sand, and over time, that the continual waves coming against it and rubbing it with the sand, it knocks all the sharp edges off of the glass. That's one of the works that the Lord has in the trials that we go through. That the continual beating of the sand, like a sandblasting that takes place, but it's gentle. It's mixed with water and it's mixed with sand and it continues to go back and forth. And it eventually rubs all of the rough, sharp edges off of the glass, is what the Lord does in our lives as believers as well. Through the trials and tribulations and difficulties, He is more and more conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ and strengthening us, knocking off those sharp edges so that we would be more productive, more useful in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and with the people of God. Trials and tribulations have a tendency to do this. They have a tendency to humble us. They cause us to realize that our dependence is upon the Lord, that we come to Him in prayer, that we lament to Him, not against Him, not at Him, but to Him, crying out for His continual mercies towards us in the difficult trial. And often we hear, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And we have a different perspective of the trial and the difficulty that we go through. But beloved, in all of these things, it can wear us down. There's no doubt about it. This COVID thing, as I had said before, that my lifetime I've never gone through anything to this magnitude. It's been very frustrating. It's been very difficult. It's been grievous. It's been confusing this whole time. And these things have a tendency to cause us to lose hope, to lose courage, to lose confidence, to lose continuance in the things of the Lord. And so we need, as the people of God, we need a continual word from our God that brings comfort to our souls. To know that He is in charge of all things and is doing all things well, and He has not abandoned His people. Though we can't see around the corner, the Lord is doing a work. Though the days may be difficult, the Lord is doing a work through all of these things. And this is what we must hold on to. This is what we must believe. And we must believe the promise that God gives in His Word. And we must take as an example the prophets of the Old Covenant. They, as James says, James 5, are an example of patience through times of tribulation. This is definitely a time of tribulation for the church. I don't know about you, but I was a little discouraged when I heard the governor roll back to phase 3 because of a spike in COVID in certain areas. Which, rolling back to phase 3, I mean not phase 2, but phase 3, and in his admonition about avoiding crowds and wearing your mask and all the other things. And if you want to wear your mask to worship, wear it. If you're uncomfortable being here without a mask, wear your mask. We want you to be here in worship. There is people on one side, there's people on another side. You're not sinning if you mask up, you're not sinning if you don't. Want you to be comfortable in the worship. To me, it's an odd offer thing. It's neither here nor there. So, recognize that. But this, hearing this news was a little discouraging for me. And we need a continual shot of encouragement through these difficult days. It seems like it's gone on for years. It just seems like it keeps dragging on. And beloved, that's what viruses do, don't they? They continue to spread and spread and spread. It's not going away. We're fighting something we can't even see. And the way to bring healing to the people is what's called a herd immunity. That's people getting COVID and recovering from it. You can't run from a virus. You're running blindly. Thinking you can outrun a virus or hide from it, you can't. You can't even see it. Submicroscopic. It's on your hands, you touch your face, it's in your nose, it's in your eyes, it's in your mouth. You get it. And you don't even know it. So we need constant encouragement that the Lord is on the throne and He is working even this for His glory and the good of His church. I want to read you a couple of articles from the Heidelberg Catechism. And I want to remind you that this is what we confess this morning and every Lord's Day when we confess the Apostles' Creed. The genius of the Catechism is it breaks down the sections and it speaks to each section in what we believe with what we say. That's important, isn't it? Not just saying it, but believing what we confess. And we confess this. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? What are you believing when you say that? You all said that this morning. What are you believing? We're believing that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that in them is, who likewise upholds and governs the same, heaven and earth. He upholds and governs heaven and earth. And the confession says, He governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ, His Son, my God and my Father, in whom I so trust as to have no doubt that He will provide me all things necessary for body and soul. Do you have any doubts about that, beloved? Do you have any doubts that your sovereign God will provide you all things necessary for body and soul? Do you have doubts when you go through a time of suffering and trial? Do you have doubts when the harvest doesn't come in? Do you have doubts when you go through a time of bankruptcy? Do you have doubts that God will supply the difficulty when you get COVID, when you get the flu, when you have cancer? Do you doubt whether or not God will supply all things necessary for body and soul? We're saying that that's what we believe, and that further, whatever evil He sends upon us in this veil of tears, He will turn to our good. He's able to do it, because He's Almighty God, and He's willing also, because He is our faithful Father. That's what you confess this morning. Is that what you're believing through this difficult time that we're going through? The providence of God is the almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by His hand, He still upholds heaven and earth with all things. God is providentially ruling and reigning in this world. And the Catechism says this, that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. All things come by His fatherly hand. We don't understand a lot of it. We don't understand God's working in certain people's lives in these particular days and to the degree that He does with certain things we don't understand. But we do know the generalities, and what we need to do as the people of God is to fall back on the things that we do know. I admittedly, there are a lot of things that the Lord does I don't understand. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just simply am ignorant of it. I don't know what the Lord is doing. Specifically, in an individual's life. I know, in general, what the Scriptures teach. But I don't know specifically what's going on in that individual's life and what the Lord is doing in their life. We are then to fall back on what we do know for certain. We know that God has redeemed us. We know that in love, He sent His Son into this world to live and die in our place, and He raised Him from the dead as a declaration that He loves us, and He received the work of His Son on our behalf. So that in love, He sends His Son to suffer the damnation due to each one of us in Jesus Christ, elect from the foundation of the world, to suffer in our place, so that we would not suffer and yet receive the benefits of God, the blessings of God, because Christ suffered in our place. We realize then that everything that God sends to us, He sends in His love. Even this sickness. Every trial that falls from above comes through God's love. Filtered in the hand, through the hands of love. Now, admittedly, we don't often think about that. We get angry and we get distraught when we go through a time of suffering. We've got to reflect upon the truth. This is the key in all suffering and all things that happen in this world, is reflecting upon the truth of God. It is a comfort to me to know that even though I don't know specifically what the Lord is doing in certain events, I do know that He's doing something, and it's a good work, it's a loving work, it's a gracious work, it's a kind work. I do know that. Because the Lord of all the universe cannot do wicked. He cannot do evil. He provides for His people even through the difficult providence that He sends upon us. And so we need the sovereignty of God in all things to be the pillow that we lay our head down at night. You need to go to bed at night believing, trusting that our God reigns. That is the good news, that our God reigns. That He is the one upholding heaven and earth with all things in them. And He loves you with a paternal love, and He's demonstrated that by giving you His only begotten Son to live and die in your place. That you might be received into the Father's household. That you might be reconciled. That you might be forgiven. That you might be a child of the living God. That you might all the blessings accrue to you. You've got to know that. And you have got to meditate upon that. Your thoughts can't wander to this, what is God doing? I can't believe He's doing this to me. There are no answers for that in Scripture. That will send you down the road of confusion and bitterness and anger and walking away from the Lord. We cannot go there, beloved. Ours must always be an action of worship. We find that in the life of Job, don't we? He has no understanding of what is actually coming upon him and why, and yet he falls down and he worships the Lord. Would we be any different? Should we be any different? Us who have a further, greater revelation that God has given to us, who have the example that Job went through these things, and how then we are to approach these things? The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Notice that. When the Lord gives, He's blessed. When the Lord takes away, He's blessed. In all times, in all circumstances, in all situations, God is blessed. His name is blessed. He is to be honored. He is to be glorified. He is to be praised, no matter what comes upon us in this world. So let us look this morning, Psalm 121, finishing up these last four verses. And take comfort, beloved. Take comfort in our God. Take comfort in the one who is our keeper, who is our maker. The songs of ascent were songs that when the pilgrims would go up to worship the Lord in the feast days, usually once a year they would go up, they would sing these particular hymns. From Psalm 120 to 135, you'll read that heading, Songs of Ascent. They're the smaller psalms. And these are what they would sing as they were going up to worship. And it begins by lifting up our eyes to the hills and noticing the hills that surround Jerusalem and the beauty and the fortification of that, but recognizing that that's not my help. My help is not in chariots. My help is not in horses. My help is not having a strong building and a big tower. The Lord thy God is our strong tower and our defense. It's God that I look to. These things can crumble and fall, and one tornado could take this thing out. It's God who keeps us. It's God who is our defense. He is our help. My help comes from Him. But as the psalmist goes on, he is the one who keeps. He doesn't slumber. But he says, the Lord is your keeper. This becomes real intimate. It becomes real personal. That the one who keeps Israel is my keeper. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's your keeper. And that He is the keeper means He is the guardian. The Hebrew term shamar means to watch, to guard, to protect, to keep. That nobody can take this article from some individual. That's the sentinel who's watching, who's guarding. That is our Lord. He's the keeper who continually watches over His people. Reminds me of Psalm 91. You know, as a hen covers her chicks, so the Lord hides His people under the shadow of His wings. He cares for His people. Christ is the good shepherd. He watches continually over His people. He provides for them. He leads them in paths of righteousness. He provides them by the still waters. He restores their soul. Even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they don't fear the evil because the shepherd is with them. He's the keeper. Jesus said that all that you have given to me, I have lost none. Except the son of perdition, that's where he was appointed to go. But all that you have given to me, none of them have been taken from me. I've kept them all in your name, O Father. Because Christ is the keeper of the sheep, isn't he? He's the protector. That's our keeper. That's our shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep and gives us eternal life and promises you'll never perish. You'll never descend into the depths of hell. You will never incur the wrath of God because Christ incurred that in your place. He's your keeper. Beloved, is the Lord your keeper? You trusting Him? Is your confidence in Him? Is your boldness and your courage in the Lord? David was called numerous times to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. How do you do that? Reminding yourself of who your Lord is. He's the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent one who loves His children to this degree that He sends His well-beloved Son. He's given us all things. Is He going to let anything snatch you from His hand? Is there anything that can take you from Him? Does anything have more power than our God? The Lord is our keeper. He's your shade at your right hand. The right hand of strength. God is the one who provides the shade. The covering, as it were. It's literally a shadow. God provides a place for us to go for rest. We rest in Him. Even with the strength that we have, He provides that strength. And a shadowing, think about this, a shadowing is something that renews your strength, doesn't it? You're working out in the sun, in the heat of the day. You work out there long enough in the heat of the day and you could get heat stroke depending upon how the temperatures were. And thinking about Palestine and them being out in this time with this heat, with this sun, with the dryness, that the heat, you could feel it coming up even from the earth. It was a very real thing of people dying from heat stroke. God provided the shade. That was a physical thing. Spiritually, He is our shade from all the torturous sun, all the wickedness in this world that might pervert, that might shrivel us up. God is our shade at our right hand. God is the place that we run to. Notice He is our shade. There is no other. You can find shade and comfort and renewal and where mercies are new every morning in no other place but the Lord our God. Is He your shade? Do you run to Him when you're weary? It's telltale, beloved. He's your shade. You run to Him when you're discouraged, don't you? You run to Him when you're weary. You run to Him when you're weak. You run to Him when you're strong. You run to Him when you're confident. You run to Him when you're discouraged. Your continual motion is running to the Lord, your shade and your provider. So that the He is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun will not strike you by day. Again, the heat stroke. But notice this one. Nor the moon by night. What's that all about? In the ancient world, there was this belief that the moon, the rays of the moon, could give you disorder in your mind. It'd make you crazy. So the Latin word luna is where we get our moon. And it's also what's derived from luna is lunatic. Who's the lunatic? The one who has been moonstruck. That's what it means. That was their ancient belief. He's too much time in the moon, man. He's Looney Tunes. God will keep you from being crazy. You know crazy people? Unbelief makes you crazy. Oh yeah, it makes you stupid. It makes you crazy. It makes you irrational. You're ungodly, unrighteous, unholy, irrational, crazy people. Doing crazy things. Weird, bizarre, like lunatics. As I said in the prayer this morning, if you would go to California and look at all of the animals that they have on their endangered species list, you'd be appalled that a little kangaroo rat, if you kill a kangaroo rat, you can be imprisoned and fined $10,000. But you can abort a baby. That's lunacy. I mean, sticking with this metaphor, they spent too much time in the moon. The rays of the moon has brought disorder to their minds. They're outside of their mind. They're not right-thinking people. That's how unbelief is, beloved. And God guards us from that. The Lord our keeper is the one who admonishes. The Lord our keeper is the one who teaches. Think about all the litany of teaching and instruction and admonishment that goes on in the teaching of Scripture. But let's condense it to Psalm 119. Think about how the psalmist is instructed again and again and again. And how he speaks about the Word of God is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It helps me to walk in this dark world in which I live. It keeps me sane. It keeps me thinking right and using my understanding and intellect as a God-given tool to glorify my God. God keeps us that way. He keeps us every Lord's Day from going crazy as the world is. The world is like it's out of control. It is absolutely out of control. When the apostles came and brought the gospel, they turned the world upside down with their doctrine. I like to say they turned the world right side up because the world is upside down. And the truth turned it right side up. The truth corrects error. The truth sets things straight. We talk about orthodoxy. Orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy. Right doctrine leads to right practice, right living. Orthodoxy is something that is straight. It's straight teaching. We talk about an orthodontist. You take your kids to an orthodontist to straighten your teeth. You take your kids to an orthopedic surgeon to straighten your bones. Right doctrine, orthodox doctrine, straightens the life. God gives that to us. He keeps us from being un orthodox, from being people that are ungodly in our practice, in our lifestyle. Right there, the Lord is our shade. The Lord preserves His people. Now, notice that the psalmist is mentioning these things, and these are real things that are happening. And he's crying out, as it were. And in his confidence, he's declaring these things, but recognizing that these are real things that are happening. People are really lunatics. There's a lot of lunatic behavior. There's a song that says, "Lunatic fringe." I know you're out there. And this, the psalmist is saying, it's a reality. Evil is a reality in our world. Evil is a reality in our hearts. When you sin against the Lord by not doing what He calls you to do or doing things that He calls you not to do, you're demonstrating evil. You're demonstrating lawlessness. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, who is putting that down more and more and making us more and more righteous in our behavior. Evil is a reality. And we need to be preserved from the reality of evil. Bad things in this world. Evil men who grow corrupt more and more, being deceived and deceiving others. And so the psalmist says, it's the Lord that shall preserve you. He is the one. Notice that preserve is the same word as keeper, shamar. He will watch over you. He will protect you. He will guard you. It's a military term. God is the one who is at point, and He is watching over the troop. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't get weary. He never leaves His post. He is always watching over His people. He preserves us, keeps us from all evil. The Lord shall preserve your soul. Isn't that a comfort? With all the craziness going on around us in our day, isn't it a comfort to know that the Lord is our keeper? Isn't it a comfort to know that I can run to Him and I can find shelter and shade and relaxation and refreshing and renewal under the shadow of His wings? That's where we run. Beloved, where do you run when you're weary and discouraged? Is it your habit to run to the Lord? That's where you need to go. It's through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures that we have hope. Hope. A confident expectation that the Lord will bring to pass all that He has promised. If you're not running to the Lord in His Word and what He has revealed to us and the promises that He has given to us, you're becoming bitter. You're becoming discouraged. You're becoming weary in your souls. That's what the writer to the Hebrews says. Every time we look away from Jesus, you look away from the Word, you look away from Christ, because Christ is revealed in the Word. We need, beloved, to run to God's Word continually. We need to be built up and nourished on the words of truth to keep us from going astray, from becoming lunatics. The world tells us we're crazy. We're not the crazy ones. We're on the narrow road that leads to life, loving our neighbor, loving our enemy, doing good to all men, and we're called crazy? We're the ones that care about the unborn child and saying, that is a human being. Thus saith the Lord. Jesus said when a woman goes to travail in anticipation for the human being that's about to be born. It's a human being. In the Old Testament, when two men would fight and one man hit another man and he fell down and hit a woman who was pregnant and the baby was killed, he would be put to death. What does that tell you about the way that God views the infant in the womb? So we run to the Lord. We are preserved. Being preserved means we are being kept. This is Jude, right? Jude verse 24. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen. He keeps us from falling. He is able. He has all power, all authority. He keeps us. He preserves us. Jude verse 3, I think it is. We are preserved in Christ Jesus. Paul said, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not life, not death, not angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing can separate you from His love. No condemnation, no separation in Jesus Christ. He preserves us. He keeps us. There is a day of redemption coming, and we are kept by the power of God unto that day. Courage, beloved. Take courage in your God. Take courage in your Savior. Take courage in His work, in His power, in His promises. They are sure. They are steadfast. They do not fade away. They accrue to the church of Jesus Christ. These are the promises God has given. He will preserve your going out and your coming in. No matter where I go or what I do, it's the Lord who preserves me. Nothing snatches me from His hand. I will ultimately be one who is reserved for the kingdom of heaven. Christ went to prepare a place for us. We weep when a loved one dies. Christ rejoices. He rejoices. Because He went to prepare a place for us, and that His prayer is that where I am, I pray that they would be with me also. We weep, one has departed. He rejoices, one has entered into His presence. The very thing that He prayed. How long does He keep us? Now and forever. From the time of our birth, even through death, all throughout eternity, our God has us in the palm of His hand. I don't know about you, but I need that comfort. I need that encouragement. I need that confidence to cause me to be one to continue in the ways of the Lord. And beloved, every day, feeding and nourishing your soul upon the words of life. That's exactly why the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. It's the word that's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's the word of God that's sharp and is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a dividing between the bone and the marrow, the joints and the sinew, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of thoughts of a man's heart. It's the Word of God that rebukes, encourages, corrects. It's the Word of God that establishes us and causes us to be secure and firm and prepared for every good work. It's the Word of God through the working of the Holy Spirit that testifies in my soul that I am a child of God. And that I will never be ripped from His hand. And that eternity, I have a place in heaven that Christ has prepared for me. Beloved, we need that encouragement every single day of our lives as we walk in this sin-cursed world, this craziness of this world, the difficulties of this world. We need the continual confidence that God is with us. That He keeps us, He provides for us, He strengthens us. You have it right in front of you. Partake and rejoice. And as you come up from your knees, you will come up with a song in your heart. It will be praise to our God. Amen. Shall we?